Just seat belts on. thank you, everybody that shared so far. Thank you, Ms. Linda. That was wonderful. Appreciate you. The gift of poetry. Where do I start? Right there, I guess. Choices. A look at Abraham and Sarah. We know the story. But before I get into the Bible, before I get into the scriptures, I just want to share a little bit about who I am. For those of you that don't know me, I know, I think everybody in here knows me because I talk too much. My name is Derek, last name Robinson. I've been a part of the church for 28 years now. It's 20 years ago, my grandmother looked at me when I was a little boy and she said, "You're going to marry somebody in church." I said, "Get out of here, Grandma. You don't know what you're talking about, church." But sure enough, she was right. And by God's grace, I met my wonderful wife, Lucette, who's sitting over there next to my daughter, my oldest child. And it was God's grace because I didn't want to have anything to do with church. I was lost. I was arrogant. I was prideful. I was a fool. And I thought I knew what it meant to be a man, and I didn't. Because I learned what I needed to learn in the street from my friends, guys I played ball with, men I thought I knew, didn't really know. My dad left us when I was 3. He and my mom got divorced. I remember a situation where I'm one of 7. So one of my sisters, her mom, came to my house, I remember years ago. My grandmother told me a story I was too young to remember. My sister was born 7 months after me to a relationship my dad had. And her mom came to the house to try to kill my mother. I didn't know why, didn't understand why. But I share that story for this. That same sister I'm talking about, born 7 months after me, she was the one that said, "I want to meet my brother." She was the one that was a disciple. That's why I'm standing here. So, in the midst of adversity and growing up, not understanding what it meant to have a father, all you guys in here, young women and men, that have a father next to you that's trying, be grateful, because my dad was never there. So thank your dads. Love your dads. Appreciate your dads. And no, we're not perfect, because I'm not. I make mistakes all the time. Just ask both my children and ask my wife. But I say that because I was raised by my mom and my grandma. And I'm a sensitive guy. Most people say, "Oh, D, why are you so sensitive?" Well, I was raised by women. I understand a little bit about where they come from. Now, again, if you ask me, do I understand women? No, because an atom-sized piece of paper is about what I understand about women. An atom-sized piece of paper. I do not understand. I've been married 25 years, going on 26 years this year, and I still don't understand women. But I understand this. Grandma said, "Listen to the woman." That's what she told me, listen to the woman. Now, I still have a hard time doing that because I'm a little arrogant still. And I still have a hard time listening because I think I know. The truth is, listen to the women in your life that love you, that respect you, that want you to be better, because the world is scary. Now, my dad and I, before I get started, my dad and I didn't really have a great relationship growing up because I was angry. I was really angry with my dad. He left us. I didn't understand. I had friends that would say, "Oh, where's your dad?" And these are kids I would kick their backside because they were talking about my daddy. Now, I didn't know my daddy, but you couldn't talk about my daddy. Only I could. And when I say I would kick your butt, literally, I would kick their backside. I'd be fighting. I was an angry kid. I was upset. And I didn't understand where my father was. There were birthdays that came and went, and he never showed up. I remember I had a bike when I was about 7. It was black and yellow. And I asked my dad, I said, "Can you teach me how to ride?" And the bike rusted. I never learned. When I was 12, 13 years old, my aunt said, "Go outside, get on that 12-speed your mom bought you and ride." I crashed into everything, literally. But I learned. I learned to ride. I did a lot of learning on my own. And it didn't help me to be the man I needed to be. But we're going to get into a story I relate to. Abraham is a man that God called his friend. And all my life, since I've become a disciple, I've wanted to be like Abraham. I want God to call me his friend. So let's get into it. Yeah, this light is getting on my nerves too. So hang on a minute. Amen. Amen. All right. So life is all about choices. And as a man, you have to think about the choices you're going to make. And it's funny, as I was reading, doing a little science, doing a little education about choices. It says the average person makes between 33 and 35,000 choices per day, 2,000 decisions per hour, and we make over 220 decisions about food per day. Yeah, go ahead and laugh because that's real. Okay, most of those are unconscious. When we have too many choices to make, it's called choice overload or choice paralysis, as you see in this picture behind me. Choice paralysis. Today being Father's Day, I'm addressing the dads in the audience. But this doesn't mean the sisters don't need to listen, so please do. As fathers, we must make significant choices daily, especially as children, especially as Christian fathers, because God's expectation for us is to lead our families well and righteously. If you are not close to God, those decisions are harder to make because there is no concrete standard to guide them. Unfortunately, our feelings and worldly judgment aren't always the best guides. No, they are not. Today, we are going to look at Abraham and Sarah and the choices they made and what the consequences of those choices were. I have 3 points: why we make our choices, how we make our choices, and making the right choice. Why we make our choices. Why we make our choices. Now, for most of us, know that the backstory of God called Abraham, the backstory about God calling Abram to leave his home and go to the land of Canaan. And more often than not, we think of Abraham, as the father of many nations and God's friend. He's in the hall of faith in Hebrews. But Abraham was a liar, cowardly, and selfish. Now, I don't want to speak badly about the father of many nations, but Abraham was a man just like us, and he had his weaknesses just like us. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 10, we're going to read to 20. Genesis 12, 10 reads, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake. And Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife, Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. You see how Abram let his fear get the best of him. And unfortunately, the consequences for this lie was that Pharaoh took Sarai, his wife, as his wife. Now, the scriptures don't state that Pharaoh slept with Sarai, but what does it mean when it says he took her as his wife? You can draw your own conclusions. So real quick, I just want to run through this. If you think about it, Abraham, being God's friend, being a man, he still had weaknesses. What was his weakness? He didn't want the Egyptians to find out that his wife, at 65 years old, I might add, who was very beautiful. So I keep thinking Sarah must have been three fine, because there's no way in the world. And I'm thinking, if she had no makeup, how good did she really look back then? You know what I mean? This was before Christ. So how good did she really look at 65? This was a good-looking woman. So for me, I would have been like, yo, hold up. But I understand his fear. Because if, and at that time it was, you know, if you were a king, you took any woman you want, you did what you wanted, and back then it was okay to have multiple wives and concubines. So these are things to put into perspective. So we need to think about that. So, but Abraham, as you see, he was frail. Why? Because mentally he couldn't handle the fact that his wife was beautiful, and as they're traveling to their new destination, he didn't want Pharaoh to know the truth. So he hid that. Okay. Although Abram made a poor decision in this situation, God had great plans for Abram and Sarai. Now let's look at Genesis 15, 1 through 6. My second point, how we make our choices. Okay, Genesis 16. It should be 15, 1 through 6. I'm sorry, let me go back. Hold on one second. Did I get that right? There it is. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. Sorry about that. Technical issues on my behalf. Okay. God's promise to Abram after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, my second point, like I said, how we make our choices. After God had made this promise to Abraham, he and his wife had to wait quite some time to see the promise fulfilled. And in their humanity, Abram began to struggle in his faith. I believe Sarai was definitely struggling, as most of us would, if we had to wait so long, period of time being about 25 years, if you think from the time they started out to the time they actually had Isaac. And unfortunately, together they made a poor choice that had long-term consequences. Genesis 16, verses 1 through 16. So again, just understand, just because you make a choice doesn't always mean it's the right choice. And when you make any choice, understand there are consequences. One thing I tell my children all the time, before we read this and we get deeper in the story, I always tell them, you can do whatever you want to do. You don't have to listen to me. And I tell my children the truth. They know who their father was. They know what I used to do. I didn't keep anything from them. But understand, whatever choice you make, there will be consequences to suffer. I know we don't want to hear that. I know we don't want to deal with that. Oh, I'm going to party. I'm going to beat it. No. All that stuff you think you want to do, think before you do it, because who else is it affecting? You got to think about that. I had to think about that. I thought I knew what I was doing. I left my house. I was like, yeah, I'm 21. My mom's not in my face no more. I was a fool. I was an idiot. I didn't know any better. I was just a dummy with 2 feet going in a direction I didn't understand. But anyway, Genesis 16 verse 1 reads, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. That's where the plot thickens. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build my family through her. Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. Okay, I'll sleep with her. That's basically what happened, because you got to think about it. Go sleep with my slave. Okay. And that's what he did. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave and gave her to her husband as his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. Let me read it again. You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. When she's the one that gave her slave to her husband, what's up with that? Anyway, and this is nothing against women. I'm just saying what we do when we're in sin. When we're impatient, it's got nothing to do with a woman making decisions. So don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, look at the sin you see present in two godly people that were living in fear or couldn't wait, were impatient. Just listen to the story. Okay, so then it goes on and it says, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going? I am running away from my mistress, Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live in hostility. Sorry, guys. I'm reading faster than I know I'm trying to keep up. Okay. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. She gave his name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahairoi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Okay, so real quick synopsis. Due to the impatience and lack of faith, Abram slept with Hagar, and Ishmael was born. Sarai was most likely thinking she could make things happen faster than what God had originally planned. And I would imagine she was feeling all kinds of things, like, I'm getting too old to have a child. Why is this taking so long? My wife suggested she could have been thinking, maybe Abram misunderstood God, and so I'll help him out. But this thinking is probably similar to what Eve was thinking in the garden, and we know how that turned out. So let's talk about the outcome of Ishmael's birth. That reference to Adam and Eve. God told Adam not to eat of the fruit. We didn't talk too much about why the snake was sitting in the tree talking to Eve. The snake, being the devil, Satan, wanted to confuse Eve, and it was okay. He said, did he really say eat of the fruit? Yes, he did. Now where was Adam? Adam was chilling in the bushes. He was right there. He was just chilling out. He didn't say nothing. He didn't say, no, stop, don't talk to the snake. He was afraid. He was nervous. He said, but no, let her go out there and do her thing. When you second guess what God is telling you to do, understand our lifelong consequence from Adam and Eve is what? We die. We live and we die. That's a choice. That's a choice Eve made. I'm not blaming Eve, because Adam is just as stupid, because he was standing there and said nothing to her. So let's move on. The scriptures state that he, Ishmael, would live in hostility towards all his brothers. You have to wonder if this decision or choice created to lead the legacy of hostility throughout Israel's history. When you read the Old Testament, you see an ongoing legacy of hostility among the different descendants of God. The tension between Jacob and Esau, which later leads to conflict between Israel and the Edomites, referenced in Obadiah, the book of Obadiah. Israel and Samaria, the wars between Judah and Israel, and so on. But as I said earlier, God had great and amazing plans for Abraham and Sarah. It is often said that God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. But as you see here, we are seeing the same God of mercy and grace that was ushered in by Jesus, but was present throughout the history of Israel. God changes the names of Abram and Sarai to Abraham and Sarah. They would be declared the father and mother of many nations. God established a covenant of circumcision with Abraham. You can read this in Genesis 17, verse 1 through 27. So this whole thing I'm talking about with Abraham and Sarah, Sarah made the mistake in saying, you know what, God's taking too long. I'm getting too old. You know, here I am, an old woman. Why am I supposed to be getting pregnant now? If I'm not getting pregnant now, let me give you my my maidservant, my house servant, my slave. Now, why did she do that? Did she think she knew better than God? And Abraham just as foolishly said, no problem, I'll sleep with her. No problem, I got it. So now, any of you guys in the room, if your wife said, yo, I'll let you go out and sleep with anyone you want, would you do it? Would you do it? Well, I can tell you this right now, from the look of fear I see in your face, you wouldn't. And it'd be smart not to. So it's not always the right thing just because your wife said it. Not that I'm, again, sisters, this has nothing to do with your decision making. What I'm saying is, when you're in sin and don't listen to God, you see the mistakes. You see the consequences as they unfold. So pay attention, please. Now I know I've been talking mostly about Abraham. He is primary, he's the primary decision maker, but Sarah wasn't without fault. We saw how she, how her decision to have Abraham sleep with Hagar turned out. And now in Genesis 18, 13 through 15, do I have it? Where is it? Right there. Okay. She doesn't believe God when he reiterates his promise to Abraham. Genesis 18, 13 reads, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at an appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But God said, yes, you did laugh. So see, when we think God is not listening, let's get this straight. No matter what you say, no matter what you think, no matter what you feel, God hears it. He knows before you say it. He knows what you're thinking. So you can't hide anything from him. I like how we, oh no, God didn't see that. I'm in the closet. I said all this stuff. I was cursing people out. No, he hears you. He hears and sees everything. So be careful. Be very careful. My final point. Making the right choices. Now let's see how things work out when we do things the way God intends us to. Genesis 22, starting in verse 1 through 18. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. He replied, then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mount, on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded the donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for a place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, the wood and the fire are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took a knife to slay his son. He's about to kill his son, guys. Okay, this is his son that he waited 25 years to have with his wife, Sarai, that they thought they weren't going to have. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went on and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Amen on that, guys, right? Abraham demonstrates here that he had grown significantly in his trust and faith in God. He was ready and willing to kill Isaac, although God had said it was through Isaac that God would bless him. Abraham obeyed God's direction completely and without question. He shows God he is completely surrendered to his will, and God fulfilled his promise to Abraham. He is the father of many nations, and we literally can't count the descendants that came from him. All of us have been blessed through Abraham with the faith to follow Christ. So thank Abraham for that, guys, because without him, where would we be right now? Some of the areas of life where we need to make choices. Well, these are some of the things I talk about very often. I'm just going to read a few. Remaining faithful towards God is one in his kingdom. Careers, education, residency, where you choose to live, choice of spouse, having children, parenting, relationships, finances, and the list goes on and on. Abraham and Sarah's lives were messy, but God still used them greatly to fulfill his promises and bless the rest of us through them, ultimately leading to Jesus' coming. Without Abraham's faith, the nation of Israel may not have worked out the way it did. And we know that Jesus' lineage leads all the way back to Abraham and beyond. Why we make our choices. Let's be sure to make choices because we know it's the right thing to do and with the correct motives, not out of fear or desperation. How we make our choices. We need to know the word and character of God so we can imitate his heart. We can look to Jesus. He tells us that we want to know God. We need to listen to him because his words are exactly the ones God wanted him to say. That's John 12, reference scripture, John 12, 49 to 50. Making right choices. We know we don't. We know we don't know the future, but scripture tells us we can know what the perfect will of God is when we are transformed by the reviewing of our minds. The more we trust and grow in the knowledge of God, the better choices will be or will make. Romans 12, 2, our reference scriptures, we want to reference to what I just spoke about, and 2 Peter 2, verse 3 through 9. Almost done. Bear with me, guys. I just wanted to say this. Choose wisely because our choices can have far-reaching consequences and greater significance than we understand. Finally, let's go to Hebrews 5, verse 7 through 10. Hebrews 5, 7 reads, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all whom obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Always do your best to follow Jesus' example, and you always be the one to follow Jesus' examples, and you will make far better choices than you will on your own. Before we pray for the communion, I just want to say this. I relate to this story for a few reasons. Abraham and Sarah were a mess, just like us, no difference. So a lot of times you say, oh, I need to be perfect as a Christian. I have to be a perfect disciple. No, you don't. You just have to do your best every day. You need to read, you need to pray, and you need to have faith. And when you don't, what do you need to do? You need to repent. Repent. You look at the story, and you're looking at Abraham. This is a man of God. This is the man in the Bible. You read it, and we very often think, how is he different from me? He's not. He's just like you. So make the right choices. Now, why do I say that? Had I not chosen to be a disciple when my sister met me, I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have my two beautiful children. And yes, they've got their own share of issues and difficulties. That's fine. I'm a proud father. I'm a grateful husband, because without my wife, where would I be? I wouldn't be the man I am today. But most importantly, I wouldn't be who I am today without God. So what choice did I make that made me any better than anybody else? Nothing, except deciding that Jesus was Lord. That's the decision I made. And that's not going to change. Why? Because without God, I'm nothing. With God, I can do anything. Some people say, D, why are you such, my friends that know me from way back when I was an idiot, they say, D, why are you such a Jesus freak? Why do you love the Lord the way you do? Because I want to live. I want my life to be different. I didn't have a dad. My dad wasn't around. My kids will never be able to say, Daddy didn't tell me. Daddy didn't love me. Now, I'm not a perfect father. Far from it. I make plenty of mistakes, still do. But I'll tell you this. I'm grateful to be a father because I never had one. I'm grateful God taught me how to be a man because I didn't know. There's no excuse for any of us. People say, oh, I'm afraid. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't want to know. Look around what's going on in the world. Open your eyes. People say, no, I'm not ready to know God. I don't want to make this choice. I don't want to do this. Why don't you? People are suffering. Men and women are suffering. Children are suffering. Why wouldn't you choose? I often tell people this. I said, if you had a chance to save anyone in your family, and you're a true man, I'm not talking about a worldly man. You're a true man. You want to save any. What would you do? I'd do anything to save anyone. I'd give my life. Isn't that what God teaches us to do? So why won't we do it? Anyway, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray for the communion. Thank you. Father, we are thankful, grateful. We love you very much. It was an honor for me to sit up here. This is a few years in the making for me. You know, I wanted to talk about choices for a long time, but I pray as a father, as a husband, as a man of God, help me to make right choices, godly choices, good choices. Help us all to do that, not just men, but women too, Father. We need you more than we understand. Our children need you desperately. Everyone needs you. There is not a soul on this planet that doesn't need you. We all need you. Help us to remember why Christ went to the cross. And remember, he chose. He didn't have to. We didn't have to be saved. We didn't have to have a relationship with you, but he chose to die for us. He chose to go to hell for us. Why? Because he knew that a relationship with you was far better than a worldly one. We love you. We praise, we honor you. And we pray about the bread, which represents Jesus' body. We pray for the juice that represents his blood. And may we take it with honor and respect. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and to God be the glory.